this. So, welcome. It's good to see you. It's we've been seeing each other every month for the past 5 months, which has been very comforting. For those of you who don't know me, I'm Lisa Smith, the Chief Program Officer here at the network, and I have the honor of working with your co-chair, Sarah Goodwin, waved to us from JCS
Hey
of Rhode
everyone.
Island, and Michelle Welikoff from JFCS of Northern New Jersey. And as always, I think of really creative ways to get everyone involved, and a lot of the ideas that they do here, I do in my other affinity groups, just FYI. So I'm going to let them take it away. If everyone can, like Devin and Helene, if you can just rename yourself, Susie, to what community you're from, that would be great too. I'm going to mute people that I hear, like Josh, I think is loud, but that's not working. Everyone should mute themselves then. Great. So thank you. And take it away, Michelle, I think.
I think my being, I'm working from home today, so everyone's being loud here. But so this is nice. We have a smaller group, which I think will be nice, because especially since it's open forum, so it'll be great. So our first thing we want to do, go around just to get to know each other a little bit more. So we wanted to talk about silver lining of Corona, either a personal or professional. So I will share a professional silver lining, which actually really happened out of the result of this group. Which is that we are not having our gala at all in November. As a silver lining, we've put full-fledged into our annual fund, which I feel like we had discussed here. And so it feels very exciting to be able to put, we never had an annual fund before, so it feels very exciting to be able to put all my energy into me taking that off the ground without having to worry about having a gala on top of it. So Sarah, do you want to go next?
Sure. Mine is somewhat professional as well. Well, it is. I guess due to this whole pandemic, we've switched certain positions around, and some people have chosen to stop working or be furloughed. Or so, because of that, it opened up some funds, and we're now hiring a development associate. So we're growing our development department, and I'm really excited and going through the interviewing process now. So it's kind of cool.
Maxine. Oh, you're muted from Lisa muted you, right? Okay. Lisa, can you unmute her?
I think, am I good there?
Yep.
So is this a professional or a personal event?
Either, whichever one you prefer.
Okay, well, in the middle of COVID, my son, who overcame unbelievable health obstacles, graduated college last week.
Congratulations.
So I'm, yeah.
Deborah. Hello, everybody. I'm at JESA, Jewish Social Service Agency in Rockville, Maryland, serving the region. Well, there have been many. One is that our board really outdid themselves. They've never really been, at the top of giving, and they raised between them and the Ambassadors Council another $150,000 to help us pay for the hero pay that we were providing for our home care workers. And four of our foundations also stepped up. They actually called and asked what else they could do, and also contributed about another $150,000. So we have actually just closed out our fiscal year, June 30th, and I was just informed by our finance committee that we overraised our budget by 400,000, and we beat last year by 300,000. So I'm petrified about next year in 2022, but for today, for this moment in time, we did good. Thank you.
Thumbs up to Deborah.
Yeah,
We're
we're
all
gonna.
muted, or we can clap.
Okay. So, Allison.
Hi, we're seeing a silver lining from COVID.
Yeah, silver lining. Yeah, personal or professional, whatever you want.
Okay, I'm Allison Zur, and one of the silver linings is I found it. I'm finding it much easier to schedule meetings with people. It used to take me forever, so very thankful.
Ethel, you're muted. No? Lisa, you're muted. You're talking to her while you're muted.
So at the unright, at the top right, you unmute yourself.
You try to unmute her? All right, we'll come back to you.
I can't unmute her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. Wendy. Ethel, we'll come back. Oh, Ethel.
Hey, how are you? Good. Yeah, my name is Ethel. I work for Jewish Community Services. I work as a Jewish Community Services of South Florida. I am a development associate. I want to know what is going on with now we are working remotely. To make fundraising is not so easy in this COVID, but we are doing very good. We are funding, we are attending a lot of people, 500 people in the JCS Food Bank. And we are overwhelming, but all our programs are doing good.
Great.
Really doing good. Perfect. We're working hard.
Great. Good. Okay, Wendy.
Hi there. I'm a little bit distracted because my new puppy is in my office, and that's why I have to get off because we are invisible fence training her. So I apologize if I'm distracted. I think the silver lining for us, so we launched our Caring During Crisis campaign on March 25th, and by July 1st, we had raised about $1.1 million. And 80% of that was gifts from donors who gave $10,000 or more. So the silver lining is that when we really needed them to be there, our major donors were, and many of them made additional gifts to what they had previously given in FY20. So FY21 scares me as well, but it has been really good to know that those who are nearest and dearest to us really understand our work. Most of the gifts were unrestricted. And, you know, people really do get, you know, a role in the community.
Is the puppy a silver lining? Did you get the puppy because of Corona?
No, because our other dog suddenly was diagnosed with cancer and we had to put her down. So, yeah, not a Corona puppy.
But you can lift her so we can see.
Yeah, she's causing trouble somewhere. I'll find her.
Okay, Melanie.
Similar to what someone else said, because everything has sort of been shut down, we've been able to have, I think, much more in-depth conversations with funders and kind of make them understand the importance of our mission, particularly in this time. And we've seen gifts from a couple of large funders in our area that are much larger than we've ever gotten in the past, simply because they understand the need. And we've also been able to make connections kind of within our community. We're supposed to have a live art show that we were really excited about that was going to last for like 3 months over the summer. And of course that's, you know, off the table, but we're doing it virtually. And because we're doing it virtually, we were able to bring in a local distillery who's now going to do like a cocktail demo for us based on one of the art pieces. It was someone that we had tried reaching out to in the past and we just had never been able to get in touch with them. And now he's home because his bar is closed. Uh-huh. So we've been able to really improve some of those connections and get a lot more personal with them.
Ben, I always don't know if her background's real or fake, but I think it's real. Can you unmute Lynn?
Lynne, can you hear us?
Oh, Lynne, sorry.
Yeah.
No. Okay, we'll come back to her. Devin.
Unmute yourself. There you go.
I was trying to answer a question that somebody had sent me. I think the silver lining right now for me would be our flexible work environments that we've been thrown into. You know, a lot of us had pushed that there were times where we could work from home. And this really proves, especially for development, that it is a good way of doing it, or at least for me. I don't have young kids. I don't have a new puppy. So for me, it's a better way to be able to focus and to be able to manage my time a little bit easier.
Thanks. Thanks, Devin. Yes, thank you. This is good. Jessica, you're up next. Go.
Hi, everybody. I'm Devin Meyer. I am the development director at JFS of Washtenaw County in Ann Arbor, Michigan. Silver lining for me is, I suppose, both personal and professional. My husband and I made the decision to move back to Michigan, where I'm from. It's been about 14 years right before COVID hit. So my husband had an opportunity lined up, but I did not. So I was leaving an opportunity back in Maryland, DC area. Some people thought I was a little crazy that I was leaving a job in the middle of COVID. But we got here, and my folks and my brother are only an hour away. So I've been gone a long time, and it's great to be able to reconnect, especially during this pandemic and crisis. And then lo and behold, the opportunity at JFS appeared, and I've been there about a month now. And so, thank you. It's all worked out. Thank you.
Welcome, Devin.
Yes. What?
Welcome.
Thank you.
Yes. Jessica.
Hi, I'm Jessica Zedman, Chief Development Officer for JFS of Colorado. Silver lining with COVID is that we were able to raise a lot of money. We raised $1.7 million for our COVID response, therefore making up for the lost revenue of our annual fundraiser, which was $800,000, and then some. You know, we reconnected with lapsed donors. A lot of our annual fund donors made additional gifts, even new donors. The amount of new donors, we're still crunching numbers, but hundreds of new donors, lapsed donors, people that we reconnected with. And what the most interesting probably data point is, finally being able to convert donors to online giving. They've been primarily giving obviously via mail, but converting them because the need, the immediacy, the social media outreach we did to really convert to online donations, we tripled, you know, any of our past giving on that.
Okay. Helene, is that how you say it?
Hi, I'm Helene Isaacs, and I'm with JFCS of Mercer County in New Jersey. And for us, I think a silver lining is we happened to launch a mobile food pantry in early February, the end of January, the beginning of February, not knowing how much we would need it or how flexible it would be and how wonderful it would be to use it throughout this situation. And then and had already, we'd raised enough money for the truck, we'd raised money for the food, but once the pandemic hit, our corporate sponsors just, it was really heartwarming to, people sent us checks unsolicited, like $10,000, $15,000, like just go use this for food. So there were, it was in an odd way, a wonderful opportunity for us to strengthen those relationships. People really get the value of the truck and of distributing food through the truck. And we've been able to partner with our corporate sponsors in addition to them giving us money. One of them has a large corporate campus. They had their food distributor that normally does their employee cafeteria donate a huge amount of food to us for 6 weeks. Like we have an entire freezer filled of kosher chicken. You know, it's been really nice to see those relationships really solidify.
Susie.
You have to unmute.
You're next, so.
I got it. Sorry. I'm on twice because I'm on my computer, doesn't have video, but I can see you back. So I'm Susie Menaged. I'm with JFCS in Jacksonville, Florida. And I think if you would have asked me in April, I would have had a lot of silver linings, but it's just gone on so long. And I think like all of you, it has been, especially during this time of political, of all the politics and everything going on, that it's been nice to see how many people have really stepped up for our organization and how good they feel about helping. And that has definitely given me more faith in humanity than I probably would have had. And sitting here and also thinking about it, I've been a development officer for, I don't even know how long, but only with a social service agency for 2 years. So this affinity group has been really nice. So I would say it's a silver lining to get to talk to peers. Because I was in education and I was at a university and a private school before, and it's so different. Nice. So.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Okay, Monica, I'm trying to get so we can get to everyone talking to the other part too. So I don't want to rush you, but I want to rush you too.
Oh, So I'm director of marketing at JFS in Albany, New York. That would be 2.5 hours north of New York City. So two silver linings. One is I'm glad I live in New York. I think the management of the virus has gone very well, and so grateful for that. And the other is we've never really been an emergency resource for food, but we launched a kosher home delivered meals program during the pandemic, probably started in mid-March, and we've probably delivered, we're almost at 7,000 meals at this point to seniors who shouldn't go out and other needy families. So considering it's a new program and working with local supermarket, you know, holy cow, it's all I gotta say.
Great, yeah. Tara, thank you, Tara.
Hi, I'm Tara Lax. I'm the Director of Development at Albert Jewish Family Service in Palm Beach. My personal and professional is a tie-in. So we're doing our first virtual event, and I'm fortunate that my cousin used to play for hockey for New York Rangers, go New York, but we're originally from Detroit. So we're doing like a face-off, and we're not charging for the event, but we're getting people engaged through corporate sponsorship. And just because we're in Palm Beach County, often subject to the news during COVID, we wanted to do something uplifting and inspiring, tying it back to some of our programming, which all we do is specifically having to do with resilience, which we're doing more than ever. So we're excited about that event. And that Max that works with me, that you heard about her son graduating, he is also a big hockey fan. So we hope to get him involved as well. And it's something to feel good why we're raising money and raising awareness. And it actually gave me the opportunity to learn about my cousin, because he was always away playing hockey. So I got to learn a lot about him in this process. I was 6 when he was 15 and went to Canada. So I'm learning a great deal about him. So it's really fascinating. It should be fun.
That's great. Excited. Cool. Yeah. Ellie, you got switched on my screen somehow. You two switch places.
Sorry. Hi, I'm Ellie. I work at JCFS Chicago, and I was working somewhere else at another Jewish nonprofit at the very beginning of the pandemic, and there was a lot going on, and I was very lucky that when I needed to make a change, I was able to, and so I've been in my current role. I do grant writing here in Chicago, and I've been at JCFS now for a little over 2 months, so...
Welcome. I just have to just tell you, Ellie, I was the director of marketing at JCFS in Chicago. I worked there for 17 years. So say hi to Stacy and say hi to Dana.
will do.
Okay. And Shannon, Beth, too.
Beth, you're silver lining those cuties that we got to see on
my
screen.
Oh, my gosh. It's a madhouse here, guys. I would say I'm Beth with JFS in Atlantic County, and that was my daughter and my nephew, if you guys got to see that. I would say my silver lining is I haven't had to buy an event outfit in 5 months. So that's probably one of the silver linings. And I think the real one is just seeing how well my team has responded and how they've really shown how fantastic they are through all of this has been really remarkable. They're an awesome team, and I'm so proud to have them.
Okay, Rachel, you just came on. It's silver lining, either professional or personal, you know, in one sentence or so.
And I'm sorry I'm always late. I have another meeting till 12:30. I leave it early to be here. I'm sorry. But the silver lining, in addition to the team, ditto on that, is I find I have much more time to call my donors. I no longer in between meetings am answering all of the needs of the 9 people in our department. And if I have an hour between Zoom calls, I can actually sit and call a donor or work on a project. And it's been wonderful. I've done much more fundraising since March than I ever do. And that is something I'd like to try to keep if we ever go back, to figure out how to do that.
Okay, Dana, thank you.
Good morning. I'm Dana Levin. I'm at Jewish Family Service in San Diego. And I've noticed how responsive donors have been. You know, people who sometimes would take a while to get back to me are emailing me back right away and willing to pick up the phone because they're home. And yesterday I actually went on my first socially distanced walk with a donor. So it was really nice to get out and get some exercise and also to be able to meet with donors in that way. So highly recommend if that's possible in your
Okay. I feel like we're running out of time, and I know that Wendy had a question and she's getting off soon. So let's answer that question, and then I'm going to come back if anyone wants, the rest of you are not showing your faces. So if you want to share your silver lining, text me and I'll add your name. So, okay. Sarah.
All right. Terrific. So Wendy submitted, a few of you submitted some questions that we wanted to put out there in today's call. And Wendy asked, she wants to talk about strategies to move restricted to unrestricted funding and also projecting for fiscal year 2021. And I want to just put it out there to anybody to respond to her question before she's got to leave in about 10 minutes. So does anybody want to take her question and respond to it?
It's how to switch restricted funding.
Strategies on how to move money from restricted, well, Wendy, correct me if I'm wrong, but how to move money from restricted giving to unrestricted, you know, some strategies that people might,
I feel like everybody right now only wants to do my food pantry. It's like they listen to the news and they're like, oh, food, pandemic. I'm like, what about the rest?
Well, I'll kind of try to answer it. We're having the same problem with the food pantry. And my question is going to be, I like how everybody's raised money for like COVID relief. And I think what we're going through is we renamed our annual appeal to emergency crisis something. Emergency is just a campaign. So that is going to...
It's Maxine. Sorry. Yeah. Okay. Sorry.
It's muted now.
Who was talking? Susie was talking? Oh, sorry.
Susie's talking. And
Susie, I was doing something else. Susie, you have to unmute yourself. Sorry.
Oh.
Okay. My fault.
Did you want to hear?
Yep.
Okay, I thought I did unmute. Okay.
You did, no, but I heard noise. I was doing something. I'm sorry.
Anyway, that was that. We're renaming things where the funding is, where it's kind of like insinuating it's going to go somewhere. I know that's terrible, but it's all going to go to unrestricted because we have the same problem. We have needs that arise and we raised so much money for the food pantry, we don't need the money. So that's what we're doing, coming up with unique names, and it's all going to be unrestricted. That's all I can think of.
So I think us, it's a little bit of an interesting challenge between our own internal budgeting and accounting and how we're positioning the ask to our donors. So we're going through our budget cycle, our fiscal year is October 1st. And so we're really looking at, could we move some of the restricted gifts that go into specific programs? Could we move those up to a division level, or could we move that to unrestricted so that then management is making some of those restricted decisions? So it's kind of this internal accounting, if you will, and how the programs are looking at their budgets, their dependency on philanthropy, and then making the case for more flexible support to donors. Our crisis campaign was for emergency assistance, for staffing, address the cuts that we had in revenue or government cutbacks, and you know, donors were fine with that. So I think it's a little bit internal as well in terms of our program's dependency on some restricted funding.
Wendy, I want to just suggest, because I feel what you're going through, I think the most important thing is communicating to your donors how the money is to be used, and most of the time they would be fine with it. So if the internal discussion can be done in such a way where it's all kosher, for lack of a better word, I think that that's one step, but I think when we did our campaign, we didn't do a special campaign for COVID-19 where funds were just going into a bucket for the purposes that you were saying you did. Ours was, please help us during this time, during this pandemic, to help us to be able to support the services that we offer. And therefore it was more general, but there were donors that thought, well, wait, didn't my money go into COVID relief? And yes, but that was very broad. So I think the most important thing is to just have your communication be clear. And when it's not, and there's a restricted gift, maybe reach out to that donor specifically, you know, see if there's a way you can move that money into something related, but, you know, that's kosher. Does anyone else want to respond to Wendy's question?
So what I would say, we did two things. We were seeing a bunch of money want to go food pantry, food pantry, food pantry. So we broadened it and said, how about feeding people? Which we do a grocery delivery program and also a kosher meal program. So by saying COVID food, we were able to spread it more than just the food pantry. And then the other thing was going back to all of our grants, our existing grants, and asking if they would change from program specific to general. And it was amazing to see how many were willing to just say, use it where you need it. We don't care, just use it. And that was really helpful.
So in Houston, we've done a lot of education around our gala and our annual gift support of saying, we need unrestricted dollars because we have certain departments that can never by fees or donations cover the level of professional care that we offer. And so we have to subsidize those departments with unrestricted giving. And then we identify what those departments are. In our case, it's counseling, it's employment, and it's seniors. So by giving an unrestricted gift, you allow the agency to see where it's needed during the year. We found that by putting a name on what it really helps is gives people a sense that it's going to one of those three things that they care about. And then the other that was just said, bumping up your restricted donation level. So if in the past it was give to the Music and Spirit Fund for senior outreach, and that was the specific thing, now we would just say give to seniors. And then we have more unrestricted within that department. So those are the two ways we've been doing it.
Wendy, does that sound good?
Thank you. Appreciate everyone's input.
We have a bunch more questions, but I do want to get to the remaining people. What do you want to do, Michelle?
So I think it was, I know Amy, so now she's on the screen. So Amy, do you want to share your silver lining?
Oh, sure. Oh, sorry. I just realized I wasn't on mute. I hope I wasn't making a lot of noise.
You just unmuted right now.
Oh, you just unmuted me. Okay, good.
I'm
Amy Newman. I work at Jewish Family Service of Metropolitan Detroit, and I'm the Chief Development Officer there. So my role oversees development and marketing. I would say one of the silver linings for us, I echo a lot of the sentiments. I was listening on the phone before. I echo a lot of the sentiments about, you know, my team. They've really stepped up. We've done a lot of things differently, and they've embraced all of it. But what we've really done that I think is cool, that's been fun to see, is our marketing team has really highlighted all of our service providers. And we've made short little snippet videos, and they've talked about, you know, what are ways that you can cope in the pandemic, or, you know, you're a parent working from home, what are some helpful tips? And we've posted them on our social media platforms. So not only is it a nice way for us to share information that we think is helpful with the community in these difficult times, but it's also been a window into JFS for people who normally wouldn't set foot in our door, through our doors, and see the friendly faces of the therapists and the case managers that are doing the work. So it's just another way to share our story, and we've created probably 30 videos. They all live on our website. And so that's been a silver lining for us.
And so Josh, now he's on the screen too.
Hi, yeah, Josh out here in San Diego. I think two silver linings. One, it's forced us as an organization just to be much more creative towards everything now, how we're fundraising. I mean, without an in-person gala, without in-person events, we are able to flex our creative muscle, and that is resulting in some really exciting opportunities. Also, we have just about 300 brand new donors of $100 or more that have come to us through our emergency response campaign. So we really get to turn our attention on retention and retaining these donors, and the burden of new donor acquisition is not quite as heavy this year as in years past.
So, Melanie, that was a campaign that was done through mail or email, or how did you obtain all those new donors?
It's been through Facebook. It has been online. We had an event, a kickoff event where we showed a video. And so we've really just been reaching out through all available channels.
Josh?
Yes.
Susan just asked, what are best ways of finding new and existing donors? Through your annual appeal, personally, what have been some best ways of reaching out and getting new donors?
Yeah, we reached out to everybody who has supported us really at any level in the past to really drive them towards our website and really learning how we have modified our operations kind of to deal with the pandemic. There's a lot of information about the on the website that really shows the exponential increase in demands to our services. So people really see kind of the need and the demand for our services right now. And then really, following up with most everybody who has shown interest. And like I said, we've really been fortunate through those efforts, through Facebook ads. I've really been able to, like I said, acquire just about 300 $100 or greater donors.
Wonderful. Okay, thank you. I want to get to some of the questions people spend time sending along prior to today's call that we can, so that we have time to get to everybody. And if you want to look in the chat, there are some comments as well, you know, that people have mentioned in terms of how they've gotten more donors or keeping connected to their donors. So take a look at that as well. But I just want to address some questions, and Deborah had asked prior to today to ask the following question of all of you. She wants to find out if anyone is planning any special multi-year fundraising, like a major gifts initiative. She's thinking of doing one, but so is the Federation and the national, you know, the network. So if she did one, it would be contacting the non-overlapping donors, but I want to put out there and have anybody respond to her. Is anyone planning any kind of special major gifts initiative or multi-year fundraising campaign? Anybody? If so, you've got to unmute yourself. Lisa, if you are still...
I'm here. Yeah, I'm here.
That you guys are planning something as well.
What did you just ask about virtual events?
So no, there's apparently something being planned, according to Deborah, by the network, the Federation, and you guys, the network, is planning some kind of a major, either a multi-year fundraising initiative or major gifts initiative. Is that not correct?
Yeah, it is correct, but all the details aren't finalized yet. So we hate to say anything out loud, but there's an opportunity for a lot of money to be given out through federations. And the complicated part is some of these agencies, your agencies, don't have federations in your communities. So we have to work out those kinds of details. But there's around $54 million, I think, that they've raised. I think there's going to be some matching as well. And you'll hear about it probably in early September.
Yeah, the reason I bring this up is, and I'm so wowed by the impressive campaigns that people, we were asked by our federation not to run an emergency campaign that competed with theirs. And so, of course, we didn't. However, you know, we are concerned about, you know, what's going to happen through the end of this year and 2022. And so I've been contemplating, you know, going to other donors that I know are not necessarily supporters of Federation and really trying to get out in front now and have some conversations, just trying to head off some concerns about what 2022 is going to look like. And we've already been informed, you know, by our federation that most likely the allocations are probably going to change. We don't know what that means, but it could be a reduction. We have a lot of contracts that I think are going to be, you know, cut. And so I'm really wowed. We were not able to raise like 1.7 or anything like that, and or 1.5. And so I was thinking about trying to do something multi-year and just wasn't sure if anyone else was thinking along those lines, just to try to secure a little bit of funding to hedge against what I think is going to be a downturn.
Looks like nobody's planning something, but I suppose as long as you're mindful of the Federation's donors and you work with them, then go for it.
And, you know, so, I was just going to say, maybe people are thinking about what you're saying and might bring it back to their communities, you know, their agencies.
I will say in Atlanta County, New Jersey, our agency donors are multi-year commitments. And so I have anywhere from 2 to 5 year commitments that people are in the middle of. And I have not seen anybody cancel their commitment, but I've seen people lower their commitment and ask to finish it this year and to have a new conversation in December that they can't commit for the 2021. So we're a little different because we already had the commitments, but we're definitely seeing people not wanting to commit past the end of this year.
Yeah, and we might be faced with that when we go and start talking to donors who are reluctant to, you know, to make that commitment. But, you know, some donors are doing fine. I mean, there's a world of hurt out there, but we do have a pretty significant group of donors that are still fine and haven't really been as affected as so many others. And, you know, as we all know, it's just a handful that make a difference. So I got some great ideas for some names from some of your campaigns, though, so thank you.
And I mean, I also, oh, sorry, go, Helene.
I have a question for Deborah. So when you, because we did do a campaign, an emergency campaign, and Federation did one as well. So in essence, we did compete with them, but it was all on the up and up, and that was the agreement. But the agreement you have with your federation, like if their campaign, their emergency campaign is over, like how long are you allowed to start your own now? As opposed to like, for how long does that agreement last for?
Well, it's interesting because we don't have sort of a quiet period or a real agreement. But what happened was we went out there very quickly, like a lot of other agencies, and we got feedback from some of the leadership who are mutual donors. I didn't even realize Federation was doing a big quiet campaign. And so we immediately got very quick feedback from some of the leadership to, you know, because we are a large agency and, you know, to put the brakes on. And so we did, I stopped, you know. And we didn't really go out there in any significant way, but, you know, of course we would work in partnership. We so don't want to compete, but you know, there are, it's a big world out there. There's, we have unoverlapping donors that, that we need to go to. And I was thinking about trying to start conversations and come up with a case this, like in the next couple weeks, actually.
Jessica wrote something. What about the combined, you know, the National Jewish Federations and the network fundraising campaign for COVID, encouraging donations to local federations, which is a great idea. I don't know how to go about that, but that can be.
Well, I think that there's, yeah. I think it's happening. I mean, I think it's happening.
Yeah, it's happening.
Yeah, that's what the $54 million is doing. You know, I think it's happening. But we don't have any details, but it's happening. So don't, you know, I don't really have anything to say except just hold on, stay tuned.
No problem. Let's move on because we only have about 10 minutes left to then have to wrap things up. And Amy Newman sent in some questions. There are a few of them. One of them on updating donor date, her database. She's been cleaning up her database for the past 2 years, but realized that many people no longer use a home phone and or we need their email address. What are creative ways that others have reached out to donors to update their data that have been productive? We don't want to do a huge mailing only to have it not have the return that they need. We have approximately 5,000 donors in our database. Can anybody suggest some great ideas that I'm sure we can all benefit from for Amy's question? Ways of updating the information that we have in our databases and making sure that it's accurate, other than getting, you know, unsubscribes and no responses and.
Sometimes doing a survey and asking other kinds of information is one way to do that. And sometimes offering, like if you can put together, you know, I heard somebody was saying, I forgot whether it was Josh who said that, or somebody was saying that they had all these tips that they had updated. If you can offer something back to somebody that they would find useful and you need their information in exchange, like a lot of you, we've had some of our therapists write special little, you know, papers for our website and for our newsletter about, you know, how to deal with kids, how to parent, how to do this, how to do that. If you could assemble a bunch of those and offer to send them out, if you got the information back. Sometimes there has to be sort of a good exchange, and we're just now experimenting with our first survey to try to do the same thing. But we're hoping to, you know, survey people with information that they'll find interesting and then give them a reason for wanting to share their updated information with us back. But we'll see how successful it is.
Mm-hmm. Devin, were you going to say something?
We use in Houston, we not only use the Blackbaud feature of they'll do an update on emails and things like that, but a part of our routine after a gala, and we have about 900 people come to the gala, is we are in touch with all the table hosts, and we ask them, they've got their, whoever been invited to their table, they've got their cell phones and emails, and they give them to us. So usually using the Jewish network, there are some people who we know their phone contains everybody. And so we just kind of beat the bushes to find those emails. It's not so easy, but yeah. Using our network is one of the best ways.
Sound good, Amy? Okay, she also asks about tax statements. Does anybody have a policy in place for sending end of year tax statements? Do you send to all of your donors or just those at a certain giving level? All of her donor acknowledgement letters say, please save this letter as a copy of your donation for tax purposes. But some people call and ask for the end of year tax statements, which then they send out. So they do it for a number of donors, but curious if others do it a certain way, and can you share? I know for JCS, we do not send them out unless someone contacts us. It takes a lot of time and energy to, we don't have the support team in place for that, but if any donor wants them, we are glad to put it together. And we just have a select, like a handful that request it.
But we started doing it this past year. We did end of year tax substantiation letters in January.
Previously, you know, when you made the gift, you got the letter, and, you know, it said at the bottom, keep this letter. Now, in lieu of a more traditional letter, we send a thank you that has a bunch of pictures, and it has the dollar amount, but then it says a tax substantiation letter will be sent at the end of the year, and then we send those to all donors, I believe $100 and up. If anybody's interested, I'm happy to send you a copy of our thank you letter and also our tax substantiation letter, because we found it to be very helpful. It answers a lot of questions, especially people who make monthly donations. We have not to send them a thank you note every monthly when they send a gift, because obviously just automatically charges their credit card. So at the end of the year, we send them one letter that has all of their giving for the entire year, and people have come to really appreciate that.
Dana, that would be great if you could post that or reply to the group, you know, the email.
I was going to say, if you can send it to me, Dana, I'll put it in the resource library. You can do both, you know, if you want to do that as well. Yeah, but I was going to say, when my agency decided to go to the monthly charging on a credit card, our donations went way up. And we didn't do that for a long time. I guess all of you are doing that now. So it's a smart way to get more money.
And the last question that Amy posted sort of has been answered, but if there's more that can be added, we have a couple minutes to respond to it. And it has to do with donor retention, which who else wanted to know? I forgot. But anyway, our team is looking at Libunt and Cybunt, and are curious what strategies others have used to try to recapture the lapsed donors. So that really speaks to what Josh was saying and in stewarding your donors and making sure that you have the opportunity to reach those that haven't been giving. Does anyone have any more to add to her question to respond to her? I feel, Josh, that you kind of spoke to it a little bit. It's, you know, it's how you've gotten your new donors. It's just strategies and reaching out. I think this is a great opportunity. Has anybody taken that initiative during COVID?
This is not exactly that in terms of new donors, but one thing we just started that is about retention of donors is we just started an alumni group for our former board members. And we're having quarterly events online. I have a chair and we're doing special highlights of the agency. And we just had our first one. It was very well attended. And we saw board members from 25 years ago who haven't, you know, who stopped giving to us 10 years ago. And we saw a couple of donations afterwards. So it's just an initiative to kind of help. There's about 100 people on it. So just been interesting and fun. Yeah. We did a happy hour.
Well, the honorary board.
A lot of happy hours over there in Houston. Yeah.
How did you highlight your agency? Did you do a video or you had a speaker?
So our CEO is very beloved and they all know her. So we had her talk about the work we were doing during COVID. The next one in August, we're taking a close look at our scholarship and loan program and the impact over the last 30 years of that program. So we're going to do a little PowerPoint about that. And all of them will remember that program from their board days. So we're just going to take different subjects like that.
Smart.
Okay, Dana had a question. If we could slip this in real quick before Lisa closes this session up. Dana asks, have you all seen a significant uptick in donors interested in making planned gifts? Have you all found that people are investing time looking at their long-term estate plans during this pandemic?
People aren't.
Yes, we've seen it, and we are hosting virtual events to give prospects more information about them. So we have our, donors that have made 5-10 year gifts. We're inviting to a planned giving informational virtual session to kind of convert them. We're also working with our Greenspoon Life and Legacy partners and our local federation to kind of collaborate around that. But yes, we've seen donors interested in it, similar to, you know, I think also partnering with estate lawyers and tax lawyers, because they are seeing an increase in people wanting to get their affairs in order. So those kind of partnerships have been successful for us.
I know it's an initiative I want to take on, and I know Susan mentioned that she hasn't, but she also wants to do that. All right, well, this time runs out very quickly, and I know Lisa wants to speak and tell everyone here about some new plans for our next conference. And she's working on a poll. Just for those of you who were on our call last month, the questions that we asked were put together, and we had some, we did a poll for everybody. So here's the poll from Lisa. If everybody sees it, can they answer? And we will give you all the results in a few minutes.
You can remember, we're going to give you like 2 minutes to answer these four questions. Do your best.
Oh boy.
Is it working? Okay, just another minute more, those of you who are on the call. Okay, is that good? Everyone almost done? Here we go. I'm ending the polling and we'll share the results. It's the first time I've done this and it worked.
Ah, good job.
Okay, so the answers to the questions are, who hired a development associate? Sarah. Who raised $300,000 for Hero Pay? Deborah. Who moved from one state to another and got a job during COVID? Devin. And who went on a social distance walk with the donor yesterday? Who was that? Was it Dana? Yeah, it was Dana. Okay, great. So you guys did good. Good job. Good listening, active listening, terrific. So what I want to also talk with you about is today we had a meeting to discuss our annual conference, which normally takes place in April, right, in 2021. But as you might have read in the last newsletter, we've decided to take it virtual because who's really traveling in April of 2021? We don't think anyone. So we think it's going to be at the end of April, beginning of May, we're not sure what, but there's real potential to make this as great as we want it to be. There could be a complete development track, of course, because it's virtual. And we think we're going to have agencies pay one fee and they can send as many people. So all the affinity groups, right, there are 24 affinity groups, can actually really think about what it is that they want to learn from each other. What are the hot topics, you know? The theme we think is going to be about celebrating resilience, reimagining, you know, your role and your profession. So I just wanted to throw it out there because we're going to ask for each affinity group to think of, you know, things that they'd like to learn about or they'd like to share with other agencies, and then we'll do, you know, RFPs and you'll have a great track. So just keep it on the back burner, think about it, because we're going to be reaching out probably end of September, mid-September. And we're going to be meeting again in September. I don't know when. Michelle, do you know when we're meeting next?
We're meeting actually in October. We're skipping September because of all the holidays and whatever. So October 27th at 1 p.m., Rachel Davis, who you can see, is going to present about legacy giving. And it sounds like people were starting to ask about that on this call a little bit, if people were making those commitments. So I had a one-on-one tutorial with her and it was excellent. So I...
I'm going to share with you, Lisa, after this call, an ad that we're doing in our Jewish newspaper for Rosh Hashanah, May You Be Written Into the Book of Life and Legacy. And right now people are really thinking about death a lot. So if you do any legacy advertisement, now is the time, and those little newspapers are dying on the vine, so they could use the income too. So I'll just share it with you, Lisa. It's not a great ad, but we put it together so that we could get it in on time.
Terrific. And I'll put it in the resource library if anyone is interested.
And maybe and email it out to our affinity group with our announcement that she's speaking. So
will do. But I just wanted everyone to, you know, keep it in the back burner. Think about what you have, what challenges you've overcome, what you may want to share with the network, what you want to learn from other network members in terms of development and fundraising. And we'll try to make this track, you know, the development track, be really meaningful and beneficial and give you value. So that's the goal. Hope you all can make it virtually. Ugh, I can't believe we have to do it virtually, but we're going to have a lot of great opportunities for networking in different ways than we've been doing here, you know, with all these, you know, fancy schmancy virtual platforms that are out there now, you know. So looking forward to it.
I feel like when you were canceling in May, I was thinking, no, that's crazy. We're going to be in person for your May one, and now we're canceling for a year from now.
Yeah. It's just so uncertain, right? Someone said at first, you know, they thought this was going to last like until June, and it's already been 5 months. It's just, you know, who knows when it's not, when it's going to end. Anyway, I'm glad you're all here. I'm glad we can all be here to support each other. And if you want to reach out, you have everyone's emails from the email distribution list. Continue to do that or use the Facebook post. Oh, but I do want to say, and then I'll stop talking, that when you write a letter or write a question, blind copy everyone, so not everyone has to get all of the answers, right? So just remember to do that. That would be really important. Cut and paste and put it in the blind copy. I'm sure you all know that. Okie doke, that's it. Thank you.
Thanks, everyone.
Thank you, Michelle. Thank you, Sarah.
Thank you,
everyone.
Take care. Be safe.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.